Hello. This is probably an addendum recording. I'm not sure. I don't know when I'm going to get this up. This is Cynic here, and joining me today is Thurbleton, after a long time.
It's hard enough to get all of us awake and up at the same time, let alone upload this stuff.
Oh my god. Hello. Like, it's this is going to be like the third in a row. It feels like one of those like after school specials where it's like a series has ended and you get like a vignette episode of like of every like group of people and you like see how they're doing like 10 years later or whatever. It feels like that, except us. Like, I just did a special with Squiddle 2 weeks ago or something, and then I did a special with Noob last weekend, and now I'm doing one with you. At some point,
feels like it's been 10 years since
it does.
E3.
It's only been a month, but holy shit. Or maybe it's been 2 months. I don't know, but it feels like forever. Man, how are you doing, Thurbleton?
I'm alive. I'm somehow writing checks my body can actually cash, but we'll see for how long. But no, I'm doing okay.
That's cool. What you been up to the last couple of weeks? I heard work is picked up.
Work and sleep. Target is back to school time, we'll say. It's the middle of summer for where I'm at. I know it's getting kind of chilly for you, Cynic, but
It's finally coming into that, which spring, is like which is good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the road to Christmas time there. God. But then at the other job, we are shuffling around our actual physical rooms and changing the puzzles. Mm-hmm. And that is a lot of, oh, that needs to get done in like 2 days. And we need to actually build all this stuff 3 days ago.
Right. So, oh, man.
A lot of working on the last minute of stuff and staying late and things of that nature. So it's a lot of work, but it's mostly fun work.
But you know what? That's a freaking step in the right direction. There's some times you've been on here where you fucking hated your job, so that's pretty good to hear. Anyway, good to hear. Overall, it sounds like things are traveling. That's pretty cool.
Yes.
For people who don't know,
I'm enjoying summer. I'm getting ready for PAX West.
Oh man,
it feels like it's around the corner now.
Oh wait, when does that happen?
Labor Day weekend for the United States, which is the change from September to August to September. So it's about a month away.
Yeah, nice. That's actually pretty fun. Like, do you have to travel much for that? I'm trying to remember where you are.
I'm going to hop on a train, take a train, like a 5-hour train ride.
Yeah, you have to go south, don't you, from where you are? Am I crazy?
I head up north.
Oh, yeah, I was totally wrong. But okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that's fine. Wait, north-south instead of west-east.
Where is PAX West held?
It's in the labyrinth that is the Seattle Convention Center.
Okay, yeah. See, I thought for some reason it was in California.
No, you'd expect California. A lot of the conventions, like E3, of course, is in Seattle, but there's also like TwitchCon, Sony's.
Yeah, Sony's that's all in California.
PSX?
PSX, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I thought you were heading south. California, I had no idea freaking PAX was in Seattle. That's okay, sure. Sure. Man. But yeah, anyway, moving on. So
it's in Seattle because Penny Arcade's in Seattle, but it's a very crowded and confusing convention, but it's always a good time.
That's actually really cool. Like, sometimes I see things like your student loan crisis, I wish I was in America. Just because, like, how many people over there are just around to talk and play and whatever about video games. It seems like a pretty fun time. Anyway,
it does feel like on the other side of the fence. It does feel like Australia is getting a little bit better with internet. I mean, that might just be like the rumor mill sort of thing, but it does seem like you guys are not at the far end of the universe. It feels like with the internet connections.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're finally catching up in some areas that we didn't have before. To be fair, like, some things are just limited by the size of the pipes. Pipes are hard, apparently. But
they're getting new pipes in there.
Eventually new pipes, bigger pipes, that kind of stuff. And that's kind of what matters. So people don't remember from last week's episode, we're doing this at a weird time. So you can tell I'm freaking tired. Thurbleton is freaking like sleepy or just woken up.
If there's a change in audio quality for me, it is because I am up early. If I sound much bassy.
I'm at my parents' house with my now constant traveling kit, which this mod mic, which isn't too bad. I think it sounds pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. But more importantly, like, we usually record at like midday my time, and it's currently midnight at my time. So this is going to be fun times. This is Sleepy Cynic you're hearing, which is a bassier.
Yes, and this is seven in the morning thurbal for myself. But the good news for the two of us suffering as currently is that brings the opportunity to have a lot more episodes with Ballard, who is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon for him. He already had some prior engagements this time.
Right.
But he seemed very keen to the idea of doing this.
That'd be really fun. That actually is great. I'd be totally open to that. I was actually bandying about potentially doing an on-week, off-week. So 1 week doing it this way and the other week doing it the normal way with the Sunday recordings. I don't know. I don't want to check. I don't want to make that promise and not be able to deliver. So we're still figuring things out. Let's just say you will continue to get at least one freaking recording every 2 weeks, and however that recording is recorded, we'll see at the time.
we are determined to persevere with this stupid fun project.
Exactly.
That we've done for
way
seven
too
years
long
now.
Yeah, which is really fun. Anyway, so Thurbleton, this is just a catch up thing. Yes. It's not going to be long. I want to go to sleep, and you, I assume, want to continue to wake up, potentially have breakfast. How are you going? Like, so what have you been up to? Video game, that kind of stuff wise, that people want to hear.
Well, video games, it's been a big back and forth of trying, like, wanting to get through that game of the year list, sort of like, you know, try catch up on old games to prepare for new games. Mm. But always it's the conversation of, not necessarily is this worth my time, but like, you know, what little time I have between the two jobs, would I have a better time playing PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds? And for the most part, that's been winning the decision process. I played a little bit before I jump into the Murder Island stuff. I did play through Wolfenstein The New Order from, what is that, 2000-something-something?
Something-something. I think when that game came out.
Like,
I think
two,
it was
ago.
The teens, yeah. I would have thought it was like 2014 or something.
But that game's really crazy. 2014 was the original release date.
Go me. Nice.
That game gets really just like whole levels of stupid in great ways that makes me very excited for the next game.
People really like that old Wolfenstein
game. The ending
game.
This is a good Wolfenstein game.
Yeah.
The ending, like the later parts of it, were what other games suffer of. Also, my cat is.
Yeah, I've been hearing your cat for a while. That's pretty funny. I guess it's just not used to some dude talking at 7 a.m. in the morning.
No, he's up at 7 in the morning. He's like, hey, feed me, people. Wake up. But yeah, as Wolfenstein, near the end, it does get, like, even on the easy setting, very bullet spongy, which for most of the game is a good sort of challenge.
Hmm.
But yeah. Other than that, I'm very excited for the new Colossus, I think is what it's called.
Right.
I think the new one's called New Colossus, and that's like right after PAX sort of thing, I think, in terms of release date.
The minimum amount of spoilers you can do.
October.
What's the trajectory, like, what's the plot trajectory of the first Wolfenstein? Like, what's the deal? What's happening in that universe? If someone didn't have the time to play it before, too.
I think they started the revolution in Europe, and they're traveling to, like, okay, so backing up. It's Germany won World War II.
Okay.
They used a bunch of sci-fi stuff to do it. And then in The New Order, you sort of get some more of that sci-fi stuff to then fight back the Germans.
Right.
And presumably strike a major, you definitely deal a major blow in Germany or in Europe, but now you're trying to retake America and get them back in the fight. And Germany has different plans for America, we'll say.
Okay. Interesting. And so, like, the first game, I assume, ends with, like, just kind of a cliffhanger? Because I understand that the...
Oh, no. The first game ends with a nuclear bomb being dropped on PJ Blazkowicz.
Oh, okay. Great.
So, how they're going to get out of that one, I don't know.
Isn't there a DLC between the first and second games? Like, isn't that the deal?
Yeah, but I don't know how canonical that is, but there's definitely a DLC. Maybe it happens before the game, but it's got, like, Nazi zombies and...
Okay.
It's, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But, yeah, are you planning to play that at all as well or not?
Probably not, just with the list of other stuff I want to get through. Also, it's not enough to talk about, but I did load up Night in the Woods, just started, like, running around and go through, like, the first initial... For the games that are like walking around talking games, it feels more like talk about like, oh, I went through the first few scenes rather than like the first few levels. I've gotten like the first couple minutes of that story, I guess, but not enough to talk about. It's a weird game by Finji, the people who made who are making Overland as well. But
right,
yeah, it's a cool game.
That's the one where you're like your little animal, you're a little animal dude, and you talk to other little animal dudes, right?
Yes, and you've gone back from college to your old home, and things are different than what you remember, sort of thing.
And it's a like a,
in the woods.
It's like a side-scrolling walking simulator. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got it.
Nice. Are there actually like video gamey elements, or is it mostly just the interaction stuff?
It seems like mostly the interaction stuff, but again, I've only just like 5 minutes sort of thing. And before I had to get to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard lots of people talking about it, so we'll see if it's just a bunch of talky stuff, but yeah. I hope to try and get that done for Game of the Year talk. But other than that, it's mostly been plunk bat as far as video games are concerned.
What'd
also,
you call
there's
it?
Lots of different ways to say Player Unknown's Battleground.
I had no idea.
Murder Island is one way to call it.
That's my favorite.
Plunk Bat is another thing the kids are calling it these days.
What?
There's a lot of people playing this stupid game. Plunk Bat.
Oh.
Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Plunk
Bat. Okay. I can see it.
Unknown has a K in it.
I guess. Yeah. Well, all right. Huh. I was going to say like the...
I don't know.
Like you're not wrong that there's a lot of stuff coming out. Because I still haven't gotten around to fucking Layton's Mystery Journey, which I need to play. I need to play that game. And then Pyre just came out as well. I didn't realize that was coming out so soon. And then I hadn't budgeted for it. I didn't have money to buy Pyre right now. So I'll be playing that in the next couple of weeks. I just did not expect it. That's kind of crazy. And there's so many other games I need to play. I've just been playing Diablo 3 all my freaking spare time.
I will say, and feel free to like argue this for me. I'd love a difference in opinion, but so PAX West, as previously mentioned, is around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It would be good for Game of the Year talk, as well as there are a couple games I'm interested in, but with PAX West, if years past, there's always a number of people with 3DSs doing lots of street passing, playing lots of games. Like there's a lot of queuing up in lines, so then you pull out 3DS and you can do a little bit of that. I've been considering, and on the lookout for, buying a Nintendo Switch for just that initiative of just for when I need to stand in line.
Oh, wow.
And then also between all the other jobs.
I think, like, if a good multiplayer game comes out, maybe, or, have you played the Zeldas?
I have not played the Zeldas, so that would be one of the games I was interested in.
Yeah, all right.
Also, like... See, that's the thing. Like, a good multiplayer player game. Splatoon came out, and that seemed like a serviceable multiplayer game.
I don't know what
you're
talking about.
But the multiplayer infrastructure is not there.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're talking about the wrong man. It's, when it comes to Splatoon. I hate that game.
Yeah, but the like the actual tech to make it a good like multiplayer game is not there.
Yeah, no, it's
yeah.
It's,
I don't know about that. However, if you're talking local multiplayer,
mm-hmm.
Overcooked is available on the Switch.
Oh shit! Okay, now we're speaking my language. That's a good game.
Yeah,
that's a freaking good game.
And I don't know, but if Nidhogg 2 is also available on the Switch,
oh
like,
man,
I'm sold already,
dude. That's the thing. The Switch is one of my favorite systems I've ever owned. I'm just waiting for the good games to come to it, and like obviously Zelda's a good game. Like I think it's overrated, but still a really good game. Yeah, like, just aside from that, we have Splatoon and we have Mario Kart, and I guess some people would find that really like appealing. But to me, I'm waiting for, you know, more Castlevanias. I heard that Shovel Knight game was really, really good. That's been out for a long time, but I just never got around to it. So it's on the list.
Yeah, I've played a couple of that. It is a good game. It is good.
Yeah. So there's stuff on there. I'm waiting for those new games that are also good that happen to be like to utilize that hardware platform. Like it really is those like mini like stuff like Nidhogg and stuff that are awesome. Because you can play Nidhogg with one of those little side controls. I know that that's like not how most people will play it, but that's still possible. That's perfectly serviceable.
Yeah, I mean, like Nidhogg is one of those fun games that is a controller stick and two buttons.
Yeah, that's all you need.
If they can figure out a way to make it like directional pad as well instead of a controller stick, then you have two players right there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's totally cool. And you say you're right. Like the Switch, I would still say just as a savvy consumer, I'll just get a used Wii U and resell it when you're done with playing whatever Wii U games you missed, because those things are holding their value pretty well. But as a person who just likes new fancy toys, I'm behind you in getting the Switch. Oh, that's a good piece of kit. Doesn't have many games on it now, but it will. Like I can definitely see it gaining a games library pretty quickly now that everyone knows it's successful. Like I think it's already pretty close to Wii U numbers, and that's, you know, just like a couple months after release. Like,
from the ground level, like the reason why I said I'm going to be on the lookout for is it's like people might be like, oh, this, like he works at Target. He's probably, like, you know, could get one anytime he wants. No, we cannot buy anything like that, like the hot items for a half hour until like after they're made available.
Oh, wow.
And every time we get them off a truck, they sell out within the first 5 minutes because the same people always come in to buy them. I am very certain I would then see them on eBay after that. There are a couple opportunities, like the days I'm not working, Saturdays, for example, to go in and get one as well. But to let you know from the ground floor, they're still a hot item.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Here, it's definitely like locational. Like here, you can find them pretty easy. I'm talking about Australia. They're not like fucking hot. I don't even give me a hot second here. I'm just gonna go to ebgames.com.au. I bet they're not even fucking sold out on the websites yet. JBIFI. That says a lot, because I think the Switch is like sold out pretty much across the board in the States, wasn't it? Like they didn't allocate well, I don't think.
Nintendo has always been bad with distribution of their hardware.
Let's have a look. Nintendo Switch. Yeah, I could just buy it off our website. Like, it's just in stock on the websites. Like, in stock, usually ships within 3 days. Like, it's just everywhere here. But obviously, that doesn't help you. I'm just interested to see that at least in the States, it's picking up really, really well. And that's a really good sign, because we need those indie developers, etc., on there, because I think that's where this platform will really be awesome. But no, in terms of like immediate future, like you'll be playing Zelda in those lines if I were you. And that thing only has 4 hours battery life, so I'd bring a power brick too. But yeah,
that was My plan.
Nice. That sounds like a good plan. I don't know. So what else have you been up to? So you played PUBG.
Yeah, PUBG. A lot of PUBG. I've been getting chicken dinners.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I've now completed the training montage, and I am, good enough to win some rounds. And it is more just like wanting to get in fights and wanting to just have fun with the game, and less. I play a lot of games with the Giant Bomb community. There's a Discord that we all just like look up on for squads. And I had a win the other day where I didn't even realize it was the last person. We were just like in it, in the rhythm, like communicating, just working it well as a team. And then, oh, we just won. Oh, okay. Well, let's just requeue, whatever. And that's great.
Yeah.
That's a really cool feeling to have. That also tells me that I might be getting near the end of my time with the game, or at least like playing it as constantly as I am now.
Right. That's kind of like, it's kind of part of the drive is the white whale aspect of it. And I can see.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And this, because they're not, it doesn't look like he's pushing towards adding new modes or anything like that. I can see like a lot of people just like slowly peeling off, which is good for the newcomers because then they can have an opportunity to not have to go up against people like your like freaking badass squad or whatever and maybe get some chicken dinners for themselves. But I can definitely, and you know what? It's good for every other game out there.
Yes. Will say I'm happy to return once the new map hits, because that'll definitely lighten up some, just learning the terrain again.
Right.
But yeah, that's its pull on me is becoming not as strong as of late. There's still like opportunities to play with new friends who pick up the game and want to try playing, and like, right. Oh, okay, well, let's duo.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, still a lot of fun, but I can sense that my time is ending with it soon.
Man, I how do you, what do you feel about it being included in, like, I know Giant Bomb's kind of like tossing around, but what do you feel about it being included in our Game of the Year discussions? I think it should be, because fuck it.
I think it should be. I think like enough people, for good or ill, have taken the concept of early access and like change for what it wasn't originally intended for. I don't know, like what we perceive it wasn't originally intended for, of like, hey, this game, it's the Minecraft thing. That seemed to be the main one, like the main success story of, hey, this game's not out, but you can buy it and you don't have to pay for it again once it is out.
Yeah.
And we'll slowly keep releasing it. They actually have a release plan, which is good, but other games.
Yeah.
DayZ still isn't out. Ark still is out. Rust, I don't know if it is ever coming out. Like, it's a lot of those survival sim games and other games as well of early access don't ever leave early access.
Yeah.
So from a, is this valued and worth our time? Should definitely be considered, as well as last year, one of the games, Metal Gear Solid 5, was a actual release product.
Yeah.
But then it changed over the course of the year to become a worse game. And so, yeah, I think the Game of the Year talk should be something of like, what was the game like by the end of that year, like by the time that discussion is happening, not in the future, but just how it has been for that year.
I disagree. I think the, and it's kind of where I was stood with the Metal Gear Solid thing, and that kind of highlighted it for me personally. I'm very much of the person who just thinks it should just be about your time with that game. And it can be bounded by your personal experience, and it can be refuted by other people's times with games. Like, the Metal Gear Solid discussion was interesting because I think we all played it, or people who played it on the panel played it when it was good. And then we didn't give it the nod because, well, one, Kojima was gone, but two, it got worse over the year. But I don't know. Like, if you buy the thing on a disc and don't update it, you still have that good game. Like, it's not like it's gone. With PUBG, it's interesting because it'll probably get better as the year goes on. But it's very likely that none of us would be playing it once it even gets better, right? It's you, like, you might not, well, you're actually the type of person who goes back to games, but like Noob might not ever go back to it. So he'll be talking about his time with it when it was at this stage, when it's pretty close to its prime. And that's kind of how I would probably direct the discussion. I'd say everyone should just talk about the games that they played at the time they played it, and their arguments will just be based on the strength of the argument, and they can be couched in when they played it. And we can then open it up to all games, not just like early access and release. Because like I think, what, 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, we had Kerbal Space Program in that like top three or something. Which is fair. That game's incredible, but like, it felt so strange talking about Kerbal like many years after many of us have even seen it, like be a pretty much release worthy candidate like product. So this is an interesting side. I just wanted to throw that out there. That's kind of where I'm leaning towards directing our game discussions this year. Anyway, so you got some chicken dinners. You're cooling down on PUBG, which is good for the people you are getting your chicken dinners from. Have you been watching the Giant Bomb Murder Island stuff?
It's always been a thing of I haven't been able to watch it live, but I've been watching a little bit of it in like the in VOD in after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And the Giant Bomb ones are sometimes entertaining. It is the thing of I can see their intent of trying to get in fights, still have some good fun, and and all that. It's a little bit frustrating having like walked that road as well. And seeing the end result, and like you guys are not quite there yet. It seems like you're not like trying to learn the game.
Mm-hmm.
As the progress from Waypoints, Breakfast and Battlegrounds, Patrick and Austin, they have been improving, and like comparing their first game to their current game, like their current video.
Those two are very intellectual game players. Like those are the guys who are like built to learn systems and get their ideas, like get around that game. I don't know if we'll ever see the Giant Bomb get a chicken dinner on stream anyway. Because they just kind of do whatever, you know, like, and they just do what's fun, which is not conducive.
So it's the, you know, their people are watching them. Yeah. So they have to be entertained. Yeah. They can't just hole up somewhere.
Mm. Thankfully.
But yeah, it's been all right to watch them. It's the thing of, I would love to see them bring in like, you know, Pasquale or Will Smith or something. But also, like they have a big audience. It would be neat to have them do a custom server with the Giant Bomb community. Like there's enough people in the community that play. It'd be cool, hopefully, to see like a bunch of people playing with them in like there. I've seen a lot of different game modes. There's you might have heard there's a zombie game mode where there's two teams, the survivors and the zombies. The zombies just look like humans, but they can't pick up any weapons and they can't open doors, but they can destroy doors. And it's actually gotten like the zombies can't easily win if they like, you know, group up and swarm the survivors because it's you just beat them in numbers, I guess, but it is possible. Other more interesting game modes I've seen, and you might appreciate this as a native of Australia, is Mad Max.
Oh, what?
So the vehicles in that game are kind of crazy, the vehicle physics.
Yep.
If you just get like honor code system on all the people playing, that you just make cars like, you know, twice as popular or whatever, and like make it so the circle goes twice as fast. So it just gets to the end game much faster. And then honor code it so that you only shoot if you're inside a car and have like teams of four or five or whatever. So everyone can like easily get into a car and everyone knows that's what the game mode is. It turns into this weird like battleship game where everyone's driving around and like you just do broadsides with shotguns to try and like blow up the other car and then just run over the people who are not in a car because they're screwed.
That actually sounds like weird, pretty fun. Yeah.
Weird stuff like that. You can do like shirt v skins inside a city, just like have everyone drop in that city. And that's like, if a negative person, well, they're on our team sort of thing. But yeah, like you can do a lot of dumb stuff in that game. And it would be neat to see that the giant bomb guys take in some of that. But I think they're just going to keep doing the Monday morning stuff, and that'll be good.
Yeah. I love watching it. I tend to just come home, just start cooking, have it running in the background. And then when I hear them like burst out laughing, I rewind a couple minutes and then watch the setup too. Probably when like either Vinny or Dan, either getting shot or shooting someone in a really awkward way. Like I just like the entertainment of watching PUBG. I still will probably never play it myself, but I definitely, unlike Splatoon, I can see the appeal. It seems like an excellent game.
The best part about those Monday features by far is still the name every week.
Yes.
The name,
every time.
I love reading those names.
So good. Oh man. It's Vinny who writes them, I think. Oh, that might be Abby sometimes. Abby writes them sometimes. Abby's actually pretty cool. I'm happy that she's on the crew.
Want her to get a computer.
Yep.
So then she can be on more stuff.
Like, oh, I'm also worried for her nascent gambling addiction, which is fucking, have you watched any of the, I don't necessarily want to turn this podcast into us just talking about giant bomb content, but have you watched the Steal My Sunshine stuff?
No, I have not, but I've heard there's a gumball machine or something. Okay, I'll have to look into that.
Yeah, so they earn, every star they get, they earn a gumball, but they can bet gumballs on the performance of other players, and Abby's got like a raging gumball betting addiction. It's actually kind of crippling. She just ends up at zero. Like you can see like the gambler's curse rear its head as she gets, and it's really great. It's just really fun to watch. Anyway. That and Super Mario Sunshine is a bad game. So with that, Thurbleton, let's move on. I don't remember what we hit last. What else have you been doing / playing that you want to talk about?
Well, I guess there's one other thing I just want to talk about. We've really covered most of it. Like we said, folks, it's going to be a short show.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe just an add-on, but to do a little news topic as well. There's been more rumblings, more like concrete rumblings, about another expansion in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, what? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
No. There's leaked footage. The season 3 world, like, what do they call it? World, living story, world story wrapped up. I still haven't had a chance to play it. I've mainly been focusing on, like, I do the thing of jump in, play maybe an hour a day, if that, usually closer to like 10, 15 minutes, doing a little bit of dailies, PvP, like that sort of thing.
Wait, there's mounts in that game?
There's apparently, we're going to Alona, is what the rumors are. I guess, hey, spoilers, if you don't want to know this, and this may all be not true also.
Yeah, it might be not true. These are rumors. But, whatever.
There is talk of going back to the deserts of Alona, which is going to be, so with the second expansion, it was much more vertical space,
mm-hmm.
which having a chance to explore some of that like there is a lot of neat stuff in the new zones. It is very hard to find because of the way the maps are designed.
Mm.
They probably realize that. And so they're going the more traditional horizontally expansive expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And so to remedy that just with the greater distance, there is talk of mounts.
Wow. Okay.
Which I'm not sure what the char would be doing.
That's actually pretty funny. Maybe the char will get cars or something. That makes sense.
That'd be great.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be good. Like that.
But I'm just looking at some of these leaked images, and this looks pretty cool, I have to say. And I'm kind of interested because I don't want to get my hopes up or anything, but I swear there's a dude that looks like a paragon right here. It might just be like a, whatever they call it, not elite class, but what they call the specialization or whatever for warrior. But, man, like, yeah, I can
Berserker, I think. think. Mm. I think Horsecape Berserkers.
Yeah, but there might be like a new spec.
But yeah, if something's going to pop off, it sounds like it's going to be around PAX West time. Oh, wow. I don't think they're going to do like, you know, take a stage at PAX sort of thing like they did with the second expansion, but mm-hmm. they're in Seattle as well. It seems like it's going to be that time when there's a large amount of people and focus up there. So yeah,
man,
I'm excited for PAX West.
This is wow, holy shit! I was not expecting to hear a peep out of Guild Wars 2 in quite a long time. I don't know if I'll go. I liked Alone a whole bunch. I liked it less than Nightfall. Nightfall was probably my favorite. That was Nightfall. I'm thinking of Factions. Factions was my favorite expansion by far.
Yeah, Factions one further south with the Crystal Desert, right?
Yeah, that's the Crystal Desert and the Asian kind of theme and the amazing music by Jeremy Soule. And the cool like two faction thing with the hence its name. I've forgotten the names of factions, but that fucking that was so good. But the Canto, so the Elona one, which is Nightfall, was actually a pretty good expansion, and I like that area a whole bunch. It did get a little bit samey back in the day, but the they mixed it up with Abaddon and all that kind of stuff, like the weird storyline they were doing in previous Guild Wars. But anyway, looking at this though,
Plow Joko and all that.
Yeah, I can't. I swear. This looks like there's a map that's been leaked, and I swear it looks like the old Canto map, but, sorry, what was the name? Not Canto, fucking, I just, Alona map, but rotated 90 degrees. I swear this is the old map, but rotated 90 degrees. Looks so much of it seems familiar, just the shape of it and the coloring of it, I swear. Anyway, that's cool. We'll see if we find out more. There's no need for a new engine, so it really does come down to like what they're going to add in terms of classes and that kind of stuff. Do you expect them to do classes of playable races?
It'd be nice to see new playable races or just some way of freshening it up. I don't know, but yeah, a lot of people have been wanting that. So yeah, like a new city, something other than like something more than what we got with the Heart of Thorns. Keep wanting to say Game of Thorns, and that's not right. That's the joke one.
They should have called it that.
HBO's got a lot of pull. But yeah, the Heart of Thorns, as neat as that was, there's a lot of mechanic and design things that a lot of people didn't agree with, myself mm-hmm. included. Just it became a lot more grindy of a game,
right?
And I would love to see a return to, you know, Guild Wars proper of no, just explore and have a good time. And mm-hmm. yeah, if they have a new race or a new class or something, that'd be cool. Maybe new weapons. I mean, like two-handed axes could be a thing.
Oh man, that'd be sick.
Trying to think of other weapons they could implement.
Spears. Bring them back.
Yes. Pole arms.
Back.
Pole arms.
Yes. I don't know how pole arms really work. Yeah, I guess you could just have something like a great sword, but with a different move set. Maybe single target, two-handed weapon. I don't know. That'd be pretty cool. Yeah, those two things. Let's bring those fucking back. That'd be sick. But no, that sounds cool. Thank you for letting me know. I had no idea that there'd been a leak. For
no problem. I will. It wasn't necessarily like there was.
Whoop! I'm hearing nothing. We're getting some, getting error here or something. Let's see if I can fix this up. I cannot hear Thurbleton. I might reboot my. You know, I might reboot my my Discord here. Bear with me, folks. I don't know if I'll cut this out or not. I might quit Discord and I'll boot Discord back up. Discord. Let's see. Probably going to wrap up the show pretty soon, but let's see if I can get him on at least for the next couple minutes. We do have a couple movies to talk about. While I'm waiting here, I might...
Maybe?
Hey, there we go. Now I can hear you.
Yeah, all right, excellent.
Oh, we're back.
Okay.
So what were we saying?
3, 2, 1... I will try and report on this as it develops, but there's definitely some leaking, but some of it is actually just like straight up revealed of With the Living Story season 3 wrap up, they straight up teased something. I don't know what, I haven't gotten to it, but basically, yeah, every time I've seen like a video talk, like a YouTube video talking about, hey, talk of the expansion, they always lead with spoilers for the Living World season 3.
Right.
So I'm going to try and get through that before we record next, as well as, you know, play some other games, but
Domain Promises, your body can't cash. I've been saying I've been playing Layton for the last couple weeks, and I still haven't picked that thing up. I know. I'm getting old, and also Diablo 3 is a really good game.
PUBG.
PUBG is a really good game.
How's the new season or whatever they're calling it?
We're actually getting on the 12th of August. My friends and I are going to go to an internet cafe for the first time in like 7 years and sit down.
Wow.
And we're going to do a simultaneous season character run for everyone in the same room, doing it together. And it sounds like it'll be mad fun.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really good time.
Yeah. Looking forward to it. We just decided to do that today because it's much to watch a movie. But no, Diablo 3 is really good. Necromancer is really fun. It's kind of, there's a lot of things that seem unbalanced to me, and a weird lack of build diversity in the end game. There's a lot of end game, but there's not much personalization you can do to it. But I said, overall, I really, really like that game. This whole seasonal character thing is pretty cool, where you can make a character and they have these rolling seasons, as the name suggests, and the character is essentially just starts with the clothes on his back, and you can't access to your stash. You can't do any cross character stuff for that character. You just have to start from scratch, go through the game, and then go up to there's these things called rifts, and there's different levels of difficulty of these rifts, like these randomized dungeons at the end of the game. And you have to do like level 20 of that, which is not that difficult, but considering you're starting with like no support from any of your other characters and no gold or anything, it actually ends up being a little bit of a challenge, especially if you're doing a higher difficulty level. So that sounds like mad fun and definitely something that we could spend like 8 to 10 hours doing together as a team on a Saturday.
And then I believe that like when the season ends, this is from what someone has told me, but like you get like something, like there's like
you get
a
everything
or something, like you get something to show that you progressed to a point in the season, right?
Yes. Well, at least I think there's a crown next to your name, I think.
Cool.
At a minimum, you get your character that you made as a seasonal character becomes a fully fledged character, and at the end of the season, if you beat it, you actually get a full set of a set gear, so 6-piece armor set. Which is actually pretty difficult to, maybe it takes like 10, 15 hours to farm. So it's a nice little shortcut, and it's for the class of that you're choosing for that that run. And since it's actually, they tell you beforehand what you'll earn. So the one for Necromancer is the Rathma set, which is the Minion Master set, and that's actually pretty good. It'll be good to have a second pair of that so I can re-roll some of it to get better stats. Anyway, long story short, it sounds like mad fun. D3 is fun. PUBG is fun. Before we go, though, Thurbleton, before the show started, you told me you watched a movie that I was interested in.
Yes.
Tell me about this movie you saw.
Yeah, I do plan on seeing Baby Driver. I was excited to hear Noob talk about it. And
I'll talk about it after you're done, because I watched it today.
I'm very excited. Like, all I had to know was like, oh, Edgar Wright's directing it. I definitely need to see this thing.
Yeah, you definitely do.
But yes, I want to. I just work and sleep.
But that's the crazy thing. I heard the movie you were talking about. I was like, oh shit, Christopher Nolan directed that? I need to watch that fucking movie.
So I saw Dunkirk.
Uh-huh.
That movie's hot. Good.
Oh man.
So it reminds me very much of Mad Max.
Oh, really?
In terms of like pacing and theme. Okay, so my interpretation of Mad Max is like, to paint a video game picture, it's a roguelike sort of thing. Like, it is that they start going, they are going to die unless they finish. Like, right. they are, it's, it is like they're getting ever closer and closer to getting screwed.
Mm.
And it just gives like a sense of like time is running out. The ship is sinking. They're like, what's the guy's name? Mort and Joe is like nipping at their heels. Mm. And Dunkirk is very much the same thing. Like right into the soundtrack design, there is a ticking clock.
Right.
And the soundtrack is wonderfully done. Like it's a Hans Zimmer. It's great. Oh, it's fine.
Fucking, yeah.
But yeah, it's a really well shot and especially well edited movie that's like, it takes a while, like takes 20, maybe 30 minutes to like finally like realize what's going on and how Nolan is telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
But like once you get it, it's like, oh, okay, I got it. Let's see how this goes. And it's a good time. And it definitely is trying to say things without saying things. let's see. I enjoy the movie, and it's also like an hour and 40 minutes or an hour and 50, good. Which like sub 2 hours is great for, like, I didn't know Nolan could make a movie that was sub 2 hours.
Me neither. Oh, okay. That's a pleasant surprise. Like his last movie was Interstellar. And let me have a look at this real quickly. I'm pretty sure that was like a 2.5 hour movie or something. That felt long when I watched it.
I will say while you're looking it up, there was, and this is kind of promotional material, but just to like make sure like people's expectations are at the accurate level. Mm-hmm. There was a really well done one shot, like single camera take with what's it? The dude who plays young Professor X. I can never remember his name.
Oh shit! I used to know this. No, fuck it. I don't know why I wanted to say Matthew McConaughey. It's because I'm looking at Interstellar, isn't it?
James McAvoy.
McAvoy, yeah. M last name.
Yeah.
There you go.
So there's a wonderful thing you can find on YouTube under like what's one of the promotional things for Dunkirk, but it basically takes place as like it's dusk. There is not a lot of like order going on the beach of Dunkirk, and mm-hmm. James McAvoy and two other like soldiers underneath them are like trying to figure out what's going on and do something.
Mm.
And it's this wonderful like one shot camera take of them like walking around the beach, and you get a good picture of just like it paints the scene wonderfully.
Man,
that's not in the movie.
Oh wow, really? Holy shit.
James, I did not see James McAvoy at all in the entire movie. It's really good. The actors who are in the movie do a wonderful job,
mm-hmm.
but that story is not there. That's just like promotional stuff. That was like a Disney Pixar short for the thing, sort of.
Damn.
Thing.
I wonder if that'll be like that. I kind of want to wait for the Blu-ray of this, because my favorite thing about Nolan movies is just like half is to watch the movie, the other half is just to watch the commentary and the directors, like the behind the scenes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's probably the best. He's probably one of my favorite, if not my favorite, filmmaker currently, still pumping out like consistent high level work. Like if you look at his last couple of movies, we're talking about Dunkirk, Interstellar, Dark Knight Rises, Inception, Dark Knight, The Prestige, Batman, like Memento. Like he's as far as I'm concerned, except for maybe Dark Knight Rises, like consistently excellent work. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah, man. I watched, speaking of someone who's done consistently excellent work, Edgar Wright nailed it again. Mm-hmm. I think with Baby Driver. It's unlike his British roots. He's British, right? I'm pretty sure he's British.
I believe so. Yes, yeah, I believe he's British. But also, this is a movie that he's been wanting to do for a while. I think Noob was the one who said that actually. So yeah. I want to double quote.
Yeah, I just want to say that because Noob talked about it last time, but I would say that I didn't enjoy it as much as Noob did, but I cannot fault pretty much anything about that movie. Like that movie was great from start to end. It's like for me, it was more like the main character didn't really resonate with me much, but Kevin Spacey does a good job. Jamie Foxx was kind of cool in it. The dude from Mad Men's in it, and I forget his name. Daniel Glover or something. I don't know what his name is.
John Hamm.
John Hamm. That's it.
Yeah.
He's great in it. But honestly, to me, and this is not something I come to an Edgar Wright movie for, the stunt driving is in fucking incredible. I don't know if you get many actual scenes with it. It feels like, because it's all practical effects, I bet it cost them a lot of money to do that stunt work. Because like looking at the clearances there, like I wouldn't be surprised if they banged up a couple of cars just trying to get each shot going. But you need to see, if you're a fan of fast driving of cars of various types, like not just Fast and Furious, like, oh, sweet, hot up cars. I mean, I'm talking about like a dude doing crazy shit with like a Toyota, not a Prius, but like equivalent, that kind of like class of vehicle. It's just crazy, that stuff. And the plot was good and all that stuff. But highly recommended as well. Like, I agree with Noobarama's assessment. I didn't like as much as Noob, but it was really good.
Nice. And just like to round out the movie talk, I'm not sure if you've seen this, but I saw Spider-Man Homecoming.
I have. What were your thoughts?
That was actually really good. Like, it's on the topic of good edits and mm-hmm. like good quality movie. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you're not a Spider-Man fan, that's just a really good, like, especially the first half of it was a really strong half of just like telling a story really well.
Yeah.
And it's good choice of music associated with it, good characters, and yeah.
That you mentioned music, and I agree with you with Spider-Man. I don't remember what my overall assessment for it was. It feels like forever ago since I watched it, but that's a really good movie. Here in current tense, I don't know what I've said before, but that me sitting here right now, I think Spider-Man's really worth watching. Fair warning for Baby Driver, that thing, it's really close to being a musical.
Yeah, I'll believe that.
Yeah, like a lot of people wouldn't. I didn't expect that when I was walking in, but it's pretty close. It's not La La Land, but it's freaking. It's close to being a musical. It's all about the music.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Does the music scenes move the plot forward?
There are no music scenes. It's more like the music is blended into the plot. So. I'm actually not going to reveal any plot stuff here, but I'll say like the music happens alongside the plot. It's not, there's no asides for a music scene, which is good.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is why
I think that's the one requirement. Like, that's why there is some argument that like Blues Brothers is a musical, because when they do the sing and dance tunes, mm-hmm. the plot moves forward,
yeah.
which is like the one thing to make it a musical.
Right. And then in which case, like, yeah, there's no singing and dancing in this, or very little anyway, but it gets really close. I wouldn't call it a musical, but it's fucking close. But it's good. No, yeah, definitely worth watching. And with that,
the music's good. I'll watch it.
Yeah, the music is pretty great. If you like older school, like 80s, earlier tracks, it's pretty nice. Top tier. It feels like that whole era, especially with Guardians of the Galaxy, like popularizing a couple years ago, it's just really making a big comeback. To the point where my friends and I had a running joke during the movie that we couldn't tell what era the movie was set in, because there's like, it's either like the biggest hipsters in the fucking world, which is part of why I didn't like the main character, or it was just like just too ridiculous, because people were using cassette tapes, but also driving like 2017 vehicles and using iPhones, and it's like a weird, crazy clash. I just assume that's what
it's a movie out of time.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But no, highly recommended. And with that, that's all we have for today. I believe Thurble didn't need anything else for you.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, things I'm excited for on the horizon, but we'll talk about those on future episodes, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm going to go make some breakfast.
Absolutely. Do you have any plugs before we cut this off?
A lot of people probably watching the Giant Bomb stuff. Check out the Waypoint guys. Like, check out the Breakfast and Battlegrounds feature with mm-hmm. Austin. And there's actually a one with Vinny and Alex jumping on that as well. But yeah, like, it's been good to see them. They have a fun little bit going where Austin is the dad and Patrick is the son. And they're like, Austin's trying to teach Patrick how to like do murder, I guess. It's a funny bit. It's usually shorter. It's like an hour, if that, compared to the Murder Island stuff that the Giant Bomb group does.
Oh wow. Nice. My plug is
waypoint.advice.com, waypoint.zone, bazinga.zone.
That's the only, they only have one URL. They only have one URL. My plug on zone. So my one's
they
actually,
have like 17 now.
I don't know what you're talking about. my one's going to be a bit off the wall here. People who don't know, the AMD's finally released their new processors, the R3 series. So for people who have more familiarity with the Intel side, we're talking about, you have the Pentium at the bottom, which is actually probably the best thing to buy until you're up at like $150 or so. You have the Pentium at the bottom, and you have the i3s, i5s, i7s, and then the i9s, which no one should buy. For AMD, they've got the Ryzen 3, the Ryzen 5, and the Ryzen 7. So they actually line up pretty easy. The Ryzen 3s, which is the entry level, like $100-something, $110, $120 set of processors just came out. We're talking like real quad cores here. The long story short on those is that they're actually like okay, but not like mind-blowing. They're not like the Ryzen 5s. The Ryzen 5 is probably like best in class, probably the only processor I would recommend unless you need more than 6 cores. The i5 1600 comes with a really good heatsink. Like the i5 1600 and 1600X are like the top tier bang for the buck processors right now. Ahead of anything Intel, anything else from AMD, whatever. That said though, the Ryzen 3s are not bad. There's not exist the Ryzen 5s. However, there is a hardware channel that does a really good job of showing this. And I want to give these guys a plug over some of the other ones I watch because they're actually here in Australia, which is crazy because they do international kind of coverage. So they speak in US dollars and that kind of stuff, but they're set here and they have Australian accents. And the guy there isn't a dickhead. He's actually like a pretty cool Aussie dude who actually knows what the fuck he's talking about, unlike a lot of Australian people out there on YouTube anyway. So the channel is called Hardware Unboxed on YouTube. They do a lot of like really good in-depth reviews to the point where like we're talking about for video games, so graphics card reviews, we're talking about like 27 to 35 game comparisons between graphics cards, like what, like really in-depth. And but the good thing is like their actual video is only like 10 minutes long, so the review video is only like 5 to 10 minutes long. And they just boil down a lot of information to give you like a really good like direction to what to buy. They're not concerned about the every little minutia of which of these is best in class or whatever. They only bring that up every now and then. They really just go, hey, if you're considering these two things, this is the one that's better. Or hey, if you're looking at something around this price point, this is the one you do it to buy. And they're just really good that way. So Hardware Unboxed. So find those two things in the show notes below. Thank you for listening this week. Any last words, Doubleton?
See you guys next time. Get some sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep is good.
Agreed. Bye.